are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a Tuesday mailbag episode. We will be getting into all of the subjects that you tweeted and emailed me about on today's program. The 49ers added a new cornerback to the roster. We will talk about Tease Tabor, who he is, why the 49ers signed him, and why he is the newest member of the 49ers practice squad. Not an active roster signing, but a practice squad signing for the 49ers in the wake of the Akello Witherspoon injury. So more on that coming up in the show and all of your mailbag questions. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can find this podcast on all of your favorite podcast apps, as are all the shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's where you want to hit me up if you want to get involved in these mailbag episodes. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com, and you can find everything related to this podcast at LockedOn49ers.com. 49ers worked out and have now signed cornerback Tease Tabor, former Florida Gator and a second-round pick of the Detroit Lions 2 years ago in 2017. He's a player the 49ers brought in for a visit and had scouted before the 2017 draft. He is a 6'1", 199-pound cornerback who has been awful in his NFL career and lasted just two seasons with the Detroit Lions, was cut, and was on the street. The 49ers have signed him not to the 53-man roster, but just to the practice squad. When I saw the 49ers sign Tease Tabor, I was thinking, why would they add somebody that is worse than all of their current cornerbacks to the roster? But he's just on the practice squad. He is not a great cover man, which is not, I mean, that's not a great thing to say about a cornerback. I don't want to completely crush the guy, but he's not a good man coverage player. A little bit better of a zone guy, and the 49ers do run a lot of zone, although not as much as they have in the past couple years on defense. But he is a player that only ran a 4.62 coming out of college and really has trouble with speed, had trouble covering guys in Detroit once he got to the NFL. In 2018, he had a 29.9, I think, coverage grade, which is just atrocious according to Pro Football Focus. And yeah, if you ask a Detroit Lions fan how Tease Tabor was for them, they would pretty much unanimously say he was terrible. So that's where the 49ers are at. That's what you're going to find on the street right now at this stage of the season. And I don't expect him to ever suit up for the 49ers in this unless there's an emergency and they really need bodies and a couple more players go down while Akello Witherspoon is out. And it's obvious why they needed to add a body. And actually, according to Matt Barrows, he put out a tweet that said the 49ers could add two players, one to the practice squad and one to the active roster. So the 49ers might not even be done here at the cornerback position. They went into Monday's workouts thinking they could sign one to the active and one to the practice squad, according to Matt Barrows. So Dante Johnson is a name that's out there. He was obviously with the 49ers in the past, was with them again in camp this year. He would make some sense, I think, for the 49ers. There's a few other names out there. None of them are super inspiring. If the 49ers really wanted to add somebody that they could really make an impact, it would probably have to be on the trade market. And it doesn't seem like the 49ers are going to bring somebody in via trade. And they still could here. They still have a week, but maybe they want to see what they have in Emmanuel Mosley and get a little bit more action and see a little bit more from Jason Verrett, aside from those two plays that he got last week before he got yanked out of the lineup. And this from Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle. He said, and this really puts it into perspective, the guy that's expected to start at right cornerback for Akello Witherspoon, Emmanuel Mosley, has played 45 snaps in his career. He was an undrafted free agent out of Tennessee last year. I loved what I saw from him in the spring and in preseason. So I like Emmanuel Mosley, but it's a big jump to be a starting NFL cornerback, and he will be tested. He'll be tested early and often. And Emmanuel Mosley's 45 snaps he's played in his career is equal to the number of career touchdown catches that Odell Beckham has, 45, in his career as a wide receiver in the NFL. So that kind of puts things into perspective, and Emmanuel Mosley's probably going to see a whole bunch of Odell Beckham, and Emmanuel Mosley's going to see a whole bunch of Baker Mayfield targets on Monday Night Football. That is absolutely going to be probably the number one matchup to watch, I think, for 49ers fans Monday night, is to see how Emmanuel Mosley and Jason Verrett and whoever else lines up at right cornerback, DJ Reed, how those matchups are coming along. And it's going to be interesting to see how the 49ers try to help maybe that side of the field and have a little bit of extra coverage over there, maybe some bracket coverages, and you can't overdo it either. So I don't know. It's an interesting scenario for the 49ers there at right cornerback while Akello Witherspoon is out, because Akello's played so well for the 49ers this season. But Tease Tabor is the newest 49er. He's on the practice squad. I wouldn't expect him to suit up unless there's some sort of an emergency. And really, when it comes to street free agents at cornerback, you're not going to find someone who's a starting caliber player right now. So you can't really expect more than someone like Tease Tabor, who's someone I didn't really like in the draft. His style of play is very much, he played a lot of super deep off coverage in college and then would try to jump everything. And I think playing style-wise, he reminds me a little bit of Marcus Peters, who Marcus Peters is a gambler and a guesser, tries to make big plays, jumps a lot of stuff. But Marcus Peters also more athletic, is a good cover guy, has great ball skills, and he can mask some things. And sometimes he'll get burnt because he gambles too much. And we saw that with the Rams against the Buccaneers on Sunday. And he got toasted for a touchdown from Mike Evans. And then the very next possession, he had a pick six because he jumped a play. And so they abused him on it, and they used his aggressiveness against him. Then they beat him deep. Tease Tabor is that same type of player. He plays off and then tries to jump everything. Made his name in college, getting his hands on a lot of balls, interceptions, and breaking a lot of plays up. And that's where he got a lot of notoriety, and that's why he was drafted in the second round in 2017. But he doesn't have the athleticism to really overcome any mistakes or anything like that. And he's just not a guy who's sticky in coverage, and you're not going to ask him to be a man cover guy, hopefully, very often. And hopefully, really, for the 49ers' sake, he's not ever suited up and asked to cover anybody. And that's the idea right now. Just he's a practice squad guy, and you bring him in, see what you have. Maybe they filter in a few players on the practice squad. I would prefer to have a different player with more upside, at least, that you try to coach up and see what you have in a player, because I think it's pretty clear what Tease Tabor is right now. And it's not something that you want out there covering people in the NFL, in my opinion. But look, he's still just a practice squad guy. 49ers had to bring in somebody. That somebody is Tease Tabor for the time being. So with that, let's get to this Locked On 49ers mailbag. A lot of questions about that cornerback position and a lot of worry still about the left tackle position, which is understandable, completely understandable, with Myles Garrett, the beast that he is, looming next Monday night. Long day at work, still stuck at the office, open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money, so why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? Put that knowledge to use. If you're listening to this show, you're obviously a well-informed football fan, whether you're betting on the 49ers, betting on some of the other games around the league, make yourself a little cash with MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find them online at gregstaxservice.com. Getting a lot of questions about Broncos cornerback Chris Harris Jr., who's been one of the better cornerbacks in the league for a while now, and I believe he's in his ninth year. He's 30 years old, and he's having, as far as PFF grades go, his worst year so far as an NFL player, being on the wrong side of 30, being on a winless Broncos team. There is speculation that he might be a player who could be moved, and he is one of the most interesting names, I think, out there because of all those things together. And he's a player that for the 49ers could play outside. He could play in the slot. He's 5'10", so he's not the, you know, the lengthy player the 49ers like to put out there on the outside, but he is a talented cornerback. If the price was right, you know, it's an interesting name and someone I think the 49ers, with their relationship with the Broncos, definitely deserves a phone call. This one from Sully. He says, does the Chris Harris Jr. trade make sense for the 49ers? What do you think the Broncos would want in return? He can play inside too once Akello comes back. And yeah, that's the good thing. There's the versatility. He can play inside, can play outside while Akello's gone, and would just add a lot of depth there and add a quality player. And there's probably not too many starting caliber cornerbacks that are available on the trade market. Maybe, you know, obviously the Jalen Ramsey stuff is going to cost you a ton. Chris Harris should cost you a lot less, like a lot less. Talking about one mid-round draft pick, you know, maybe a third maximum is what I would give up for Chris Harris. He's, you know, he's on a one-year contract. He signed a one-year deal, so you would lose him or have to re-sign him after this season. So it would definitely be a rental situation. And I don't know where the Broncos feel like they're at, if they would want to re-sign Chris Harris. They already didn't sign him to a long-term deal when they had the opportunity. So I don't really know what the feelings are like there, if Chris Harris definitely doesn't want to sign with them, if they know they're going to move on anyway. So Chris Harris is an interesting name. And of all the players I've heard thrown out there for the 49ers, just with the 0-4 Broncos not really going anywhere right now, he would seem to be a player that could be available. I don't know if the asking price is right, but if it is, that might make a lot of sense for the 49ers. And I have liked what I've seen from Chris Harris in the past. I haven't watched him close this year to know if his play has really fallen off or not, or if it's just a situation where he's on a bad team and, you know, they haven't had as much of a pass rush. Only, I think they had zero sacks between Von Miller and Bradley Chubb until this week 4 game. Now they've lost Bradley Chubb to a partially torn ACL. He's going to be gone for the season. So really a rough season right now in Vic Fangio's first season as a head coach. I don't know if Fangio's ready to full. I mean, he's definitely not the type of guy. I don't care if he's 0-15. He's definitely not going to cave in even for that 16th game on the schedule. He's going to fight it out. So I doubt he wants to lose one of his better cover guys. But Chris Harris Jr. is an interesting name and definitely, I think, deserves a phone call for the 49ers. And maybe the 49ers, I think last week was definitely a tryout for Justin Skule at left tackle. Maybe this week, 49ers sitting there 3-0, have a full week to get these guys ready to go. Maybe this is a tryout for Emmanuel Mosley or Jason Verrett, for them to really have a really firm idea of who those two players are. Maybe after Monday Night Football against the Browns and a tough test in Odell Beckham, maybe they'll rethink things and be like, yeah, you know what? I think we really need to have, we need to do something because we can't go into Los Angeles and get, you know, get thumped on by the Rams because we don't have someone who can cover on that side of the field. And they're going to get tested. We saw it last year, even when Akella Witherspoon was in there not playing great early in the season, that side of the field just got hammered. And the 49ers can't go back into that mode of what we saw in 2018 in the secondary. That would be bad news for a team that's really built up a lot of momentum here early on in the 2019 season. Let's go to Eric on Twitter. He said, would love to hear how Nick Bosa's start in the NFL is compared to some other top defensive lineman picks in the draft. And when you're looking at the players who most people were talking about getting picked in that number two spot, it came down to Quinnen Williams, a lot of Josh Allen. And I've seen flashes from both players. Quinnen Williams has been banged up a little bit, so hasn't played a ton, but I have liked some of what I've seen from him. But I think clearly Nick Bosa would be the player that you would want to have over Quinnen Williams for the 49ers, especially just because they already have some very good interior players. And Nick Bosa is just, I think, a better player and has played better in his start to his NFL career, although Quinnen Williams, I think, will be really good for a long time and is a really young player that has a bright future ahead of him. And when it comes to Josh Allen, basically what I've seen from Josh Allen is exactly, and there's really haven't been any surprises with all three of those guys. They've been pretty much what you would have expected, with Quinnen being banged up, hasn't been on the field as much. But with Nick Bosa, he was ready to play just as you would have expected. And he's beating the man in front of him often versus the run, versus the pass. He is coming up a little bit short on some sacks. He thinks it's because he hasn't had a really much of an opportunity to tackle quarterbacks, because you don't hit guys in practice anymore. And so he's worked so much on beating the blocker in front of him, but hasn't worked a ton on bringing the man down behind that blocker. So we'll see if that continues to get better for Nick Bosa. I know some people had pointed to Nick Bosa pre-draft and now post-draft, saying he's a short-armed guy and that's how it's going to be for him, that he can't bring down ball carriers because his arms are 33 inches long instead of the ideal 34 inches long. I don't completely buy into that, but you know, it is something. It's helpful to have long arms. A lot of great pass rushers have long arms for various reasons. You can keep men off you. You can create space with an offensive lineman. You can use your hands better. You can long arm a guy and they can't get into your body, and it's helpful to bring down ball carriers, but it's not the end all be all attribute. And obviously using his hands has not been a problem for Nick Bosa taking on blockers. And Josh Allen's been that same flash player that I saw in college too. He will beat a man around the corner, and he's had a couple of sacks and a couple of good plays I've seen from the little bit that I've seen of Josh Allen in a Jaguars uniform. But he gets blocked a lot too, and it's pretty much the same player I saw. I haven't been really surprised by it. And Josh Allen has a lot of talent. He's got length, size, he's got work ethic. I expect him to get better, but still a little bit of a raw player and a raw pass rusher, which is to be expected. And I really like Josh Allen, think he'll be really good, but the 49ers absolutely made the right choice with Nick Bosa. He's so good, and he has room to get even better. Got pressures for days. The only thing holding down his grade, when you look at PFF numbers and things like that, and they've given him credit for a ton of pressures, 17 so far, which is top 10 in the NFL amongst defensive ends. He's got a poor tackling grade because he hasn't been able to bring the guys down when he's gotten there. So he should have not only pressures, but a bunch of more sacks on top of it. So looking for that to improve for Nick Bosa. And I think he was hampered with that ankle, so I think that will also improve for his ability to run and chase guys and bring guys down and finish the play. I think that will only get better for Nick Bosa throughout the rest of his rookie season. Let's finish up the cornerback conversation here and the obligatory Jalen Ramsey question. And we'll probably be dealing with Jalen Ramsey questions once a week until he gets traded or until the trade deadline passes. And then maybe it'll happen again in the offseason. Who knows? But Spider Rico says, everyone keeps calling Ramsey a great football player worth the first round picks. Is he, though? Besides creating drama, his PFF rating over the last 3 years has declined significantly, from 90 in 17 to 72 last year to 59 so far this year. I think there's one key there with PFF grades, is they tend to fluctuate, and especially when it comes to cover guys, it's just not something that stays really firm year to year. But when you watch, and I think Eric Crocker is a great one to talk to here. He's a friend of the show. He does a great job breaking down cornerbacks, and he had a nice thread the other day talking about Jalen Ramsey and watching him take on some of the best players in the NFL There was a good one on DeAndre Hopkins and watching him take on someone that good and the impact he had and how good he was. And basically, the takeaway was he's the best corner in the league, or one of the couple of best corners in the league. He's ridiculously talented, still only 24 years old. He's that good. He's that competitive. Some of the drama may be overblown. If you like, I put it this way with the Jalen Ramsey drama. He's not getting arrested. He's not causing huge problems off the field. He's not fighting guys. He's not, you know, going to Antonio Brown levels. He believes it's, you know, it's time for him to move on and be on a different team. And I can understand that. And I can understand him wanting to empower himself to be able to go to another team if he wants to. And it's up to the Jaguars to say yes or no to that. And they definitely have him under contract and they can say no. And they can just squash that idea completely. But if you're a fan of Richard Sherman right now, I don't see how you would not be a fan of Jalen Ramsey. Very brash, similar type of a player to what a young Richard Sherman was. And I know when you play against him, you don't like that. But when he's on your team, it's nice to have that competitive player as long as he wants to be on board. So there is some question there, and I understand it, and it's not, I think it's not a slam dunk. That's why a team hasn't thrown two first-round picks at the Jaguars for Jalen Ramsey. But he is that good. He's a great player. That's not in doubt for me at all. More mailbag coming up. There's a lot of people very nervous about Justin Skule taking on Myles Garrett in Week 5. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. To Adam on Twitter, this one made me laugh. He said, I was trying to decide what the penance you must pay for jinxing us when you called the Rams loss early in the fourth quarter and then all hell broke loose. Luckily, it worked out. I'm curious what you think would have been a fair price to pay. Adam, actually, I called it earlier. It was like the second quarter when they went up three scores. It was early in that game when I shot that tweet out. It was definitely premature. I was tempting the football gods. And man, I did think for a second, no way did I just jinx the heck out of the 49ers there. And when Jameis Winston threw that pick six, it was like, no way, come on. This is not going to happen now. But it didn't happen. I think a fair price to pay would have been I had to shut down my Twitter account and shut down this podcast. So thank God, Adam, that that did not happen. There's an email from our guy Rodney, Mahalo Rodney. He says, great to see our 49ers 3-0. I know deep down in your heart you knew the Niners would be 3-0. What do you do with the undrafted free agent running back trio of Breida, Mostert, and Jeff Wilson? He says, extend Mostert, maybe restructure... extend Breida, maybe restructure Mostert's current contract, which if he's going to be a free agent, I don't know if you can. I don't know. Let's see. What's Mostert's contract situation right now? He was a free agent signing. I don't know if he is up for free agency like the undrafted Matt Breida is. Let's see. 3-year contract. No, yeah, he just signed a 3-year contract with the 49ers. So, Raheem Mostert's good. Raheem Mostert's going to be back next year. Core special teams player. Even if he doesn't play a lot of running back, he's so valuable. And now that we've seen him play more running back recently, I feel very comfortable with Mostert out there running the rock. He's ridiculously explosive, man. When he puts his foot in the ground and he sees it, he's shot out of a cannon. Ball security is the big problem right now with Raheem Mostert. He's put the ball on the ground last year, did it again last week. It's definitely something he's got to tighten up, and that's going to keep him from carrying the rock if he can't hold on to said rock. And then Jeff Wilson, yeah, going into 2021, he's a ways off there, so not really anything to worry about there. The question here is Matt Breida. How much do you pay Matt Breida? Do you sign the restricted free agent to be this offseason to a big deal, a starter's deal, and maybe cut Coleman? Do you keep them both? Do you keep them all around? I like having the depth. I think that's really important in the NFL at running back. So, but I don't know. It doesn't make sense to pay a bunch of guys if Breida clearly becomes the guy over Coleman. Maybe you do have to cut Coleman, pay Breida instead, roll with Breida, Mostert, Jeff Wilson, maybe a draft pick. And on the subject of draft picks, Rodney says, does Shanahan even need to draft running backs? And he gives Joe Williams as an example there. Yeah, maybe they don't need to because they've had such good luck with undrafted free agents. But yeah, you know, I got no problem with drafting running backs. Just don't do it early, you know. Restructure your draft board at the beginning of day three, fourth round comes around. Maybe even the third round if you think there's a really special player there to go draft and go get. But yeah, round three, it's almost like special teamers. It's like, okay, now let's put the special teamers on the board. Now let's put the running backs on the board. Who's at the top? Do we need a running back? Let's go get a guy. That's the way I would look at it. And especially the way Shanahan coaches it up and the offensive line, just everyone they throw out there, the 49ers have had luck running the football right now. And I think Breida has deserved it, though. I'd like to see Breida get a nice little contract. I don't think he would get a huge contract at this point, but maybe he does blow up this season. But right now, it looks like the 49ers definitely have him on a bit of a snap count, because even when he's running the ball well, they're giving the ball to Mostert as much as they're giving it to Breida. And I expect that to continue now with Coleman, and maybe Coleman even out-touches Matt Breida because he's a little bit better of a receiver and probably gets some goal line touches, with Jeff Wilson most likely being the player who would be inactive on Sundays. And that's another thing when it comes to adding a corner, say Dante Johnson or one of these guys off the street that's not very good, who's going to be the last corner on the roster, you have to cut somebody. And I would not cut Jeff Wilson for Dante Johnson or someone of his talent level that you're hoping doesn't ever have to play. So that's an interesting one. I wonder if the 49ers would be able to get Jeff Wilson back to the practice squad again after he's shown some ability to put the ball in the end zone as a short yardage back and put some good tape out there last year. And with the attrition at running back around the league and some teams probably having some open spots, I would be hesitant to try to cut Jeff Wilson again and get him back to the practice squad. I think Jeff Wilson should probably stay on the active roster, but then he starts to get tight. Who do you cut if you do sign another corner? Because, you know, the guys that are out due to injury, like Joe Staley and Kelly Witherspoon, they're not on IR because they're not out long enough. So you have to start cutting players if you're bringing players in. And I don't see a street free agent at cornerback that's worthy of cutting, say, Jeff Wilson. An email from Aaron. Hey, Brian, how much credit goes to the new coaches of Joe Woods and Chris Kocurek for the improved defensive play? Missed tackles are way down. Cornerbacks are playing much better, especially Witherspoon. Those coaches seem like an oversight right now with the defense balling out. By the way, I drove up from Long Beach on Sunday morning to watch the 49ers beat the Steelers. Made it back home at 11:30 p.m. that night. Worth every minute of that car ride. Go Niners. Yeah, it sounds like it was a fun trip for you, Aaron. Very successful one going up to Levi's Stadium at the home opener, watching the 49ers take home the dub. And it was loud, so props to Aaron and the rest of the folks that were at Levi's Stadium. It was a good atmosphere. I expect that to be the case again here Monday Night Football this week. And yeah, I think Joe Woods, Chris Kocurek deserve a ton of credit. The secondary, they just seem like they're together. They're playing like a cohesive unit together. Last year, it seemed like, okay, here's four players, and Sherman's doing his thing. He's okay. He's fine over there, but everything else seems haywire. Guys looking at each other with their palms in the air after the play. We're not seeing the miscommunications as much this year, so I think you have to point to the coaching staff, and I think Joe Woods is doing a great job there in the secondary. And Chris Kocurek, if nothing else, has his front seven fired up, but I like what I've seen from the defensive line. I think talent helps there too. I think last year's defensive line would have looked a heck of a lot better with guys like Dee Ford and Nick Bosa out there. But you definitely have to give props to both Joe Woods and Chris Kocurek. All good things happening right now on the defensive side of the ball for the 49ers. We'll see how things look here without Akella Witherspoon in Week 5. Okay, let's finish it off with the elephant in the room, Myles Garrett. A ton of questions on him. El Dani put it simply as, how do you slow down Myles Garrett? And Danny, I don't think there is even... what do you do? I think the 49ers showed the game plan last week. They are going to run to the right, run away from the left side of the 49ers offensive line, run right very heavily. They were already running right more than left and more than up the middle as it was, but it was almost exclusively to the right side in Week 3. They left Mike McGlinchey alone, and The Steelers brought pressure too, extra pressure to that side. I think they kind of knew and had an idea, or at least mid-game figured out what the 49ers were doing and just brought pressure off that side, brought some free rushers at Garoppolo. But Garoppolo's up to the task. So I think that's the blueprint and that's the game plan. And the Browns have seen it. The Browns will probably try to do more of the same of what the Steelers did, but it didn't really help. It wasn't successful for the Steelers. We'll see if it is for the Browns on Monday Night Football. You got to give Justin School help on the left side with Myles Garrett over there. I mean, you just have to give him as much help as you can. Chip him, make life difficult, use check, whoever's in at halfback. Any number of tight ends could be out there. I would put Toilolo out there almost exclusively. Just run two tights if you have to, and then move Kittle around, you know, have him on the right side, have him on the left side, have him in the slot, do all those things. But he's going to take up a lot of attention, and I think it's going to be a really tough task, and he might cause a lot of problems for the 49ers. But how do you slow him down? I don't know. Is Sam Darnold's girlfriend available? Can we, like, pay her to go to Cleveland and maybe breathe on breathe around in the locker room? Maybe make friends with Myles Garrett? I don't know. That's about the only thing I can think of is coming down with mono would probably be the best thing that could happen for the 49ers is an illness for Myles Garrett. Otherwise, it's going to be a very interesting one on Monday Night Football. I'll be back tomorrow talking more Browns with Jeff Lloyd of Locked On Browns in another crossover episode here, the Weekly Wink with Nick Winkler on Thursday, Dylan DeSimone. It's been a while since I talked to him. He'll be my guest Friday, then Monday we'll give the keys to victory before that Monday Night Football game. All right, that's the plan. Talk to you guys tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.